As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee perking on the stove. And there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? Welcome to our Thursday, October the 15th, 2009, live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you yet again today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. So I like to say, hope makes a dandy breakfast, but it's a lousy supper. It's going to take a little bit more than hope to pull our bacon out of this fire. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the program. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in at toll-free at 866-841-1065. And, of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me by email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, small town America, here, Exeter, Mo, 65647. That's Box 96, Exeter, Mo, 65647. Big shout out once again to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences, and our listener call-in number remains throughout the broadcast at 866-841-1065, and of course, your calls are welcome. Gold tests the $1,040 level this morning in the London market. The USDX index inches up a little bit in the wake of that 10,000-point Dow. We'll talk about that in a moment. Public finance, debt, credit. As we learn much more about economics and the global finance, we're going to go into all of that today. Perhaps in the second hour, we'll be joined again by Vicki Davis. She's having a little bit of computer difficulty this morning. We'll pick her up then. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go back into those market reports today for Thursday, October the 15th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But 1 hour ago, gold was trading off $12.60 at $1,050.10 an ounce. Silver losing 42 cents in early morning trading at $17.46 an ounce. Platinum off 26 bucks at $1,333 an ounce. And palladium down as well, 3 bucks at $324 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, the 1,045.80, the low, was hit in London just before the New York market opened. The high is 1,066.70, but at $1,050.10, your gold is still up $202.60 year to year for a 23.89% return on your investment. That just about equals the capital gains tax on a ounce of gold. Anyway, the London Gold Fix. This morning, the boys in London set the gold price at $1,052.50, and you can see we're right on top of that now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up yesterday, 145 points, topping that 10,000 figure at 10,016. Well, we'll pick it all up right there on the other side of this first break, but we'll stay with Bill in 3 minutes.
We'll be right back. Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And I have returned once again right here on our Thursday, October the 15th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Let's go back in and close out those market reports for Thursday, October the 15th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, we found gold trading off $12.60. at $1,050.10 an ounce. Silver off 42 at $17.46. Dropping down through the numbers here, going back into the equities, the Dow Jones again. Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 145, topping that 10,000 mark. They've been waiting for that. Now they're all wearing their hats and waving their flags. Nevertheless, it probably won't stay there for long. Nonetheless, it did close out yesterday at 10,016 points. The NASDAQ was up 32 at 2172. The Standard No So Very Poor 500 was up 19 at 1,092. And crude oil off 15 cents, trades at 75.03. And curiously enough, the U.S. dollar index, those people over there, the Internet Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., their little foreign product here, the USDX, up 11 basis points at 75.56. So I guess the dollar and the crude is getting to parity. We'll talk about that in a moment. In the Forex, the foreign exchange rates, again, the International Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., might want to browse them up on your web browser. Anyway, they've got the Canadian dollar sitting at 97 cents U.S., the Mexican peso off a little bit this morning, still, however, at 8 cents U.S., the euro off 36 basis points, trading at $1.49 U.S. The British pound goes up 169 basis points, trading at $1.63, an exceedingly strong move upward for the British pound. But, you know, they control the gold, they control the money, they control the pound sterling. Anyhow, the Swiss franc. Off a little bit this morning, yet still at 98 cents. So we can see the Canadian dollar and the Swiss franc are just about at parity with whatever the U.S. dollar might be worth. Depends on who you're trying to swindle. The bond market today, the yield in the bonds, still the two-year bond is below 1%. It's trading at 0.94%. That's the yield on a two-year bond. The 10-year yield is 3.45, 3.45%. And the 30-year is at 4.29%. In the mortgage markets, for the first time in a long time, we're seeing no change, no change, no change in the 15-year mortgage. Last month, it was 4.66%. This month, it's 4.66%. So for, like I said, the first time in a long time, ain't no change there. Maybe we found a bottom in the 15-year mortgage market. The 30-year mortgage market moves down a little bit this morning, 5.03%, down from 5.23% 1 month ago. I like to get interesting stuff sent to me in the mail, things that come in the email box, always interesting. Listener sent this one to me, thought I might share it with you. A little bit of good news. Well, kind of funny news, or maybe just goofy news. Anyway, as we grew up, we all heard about the ant and the grasshopper story, right? I think it was Aesop Fables, perhaps not. But the old version went something like that. This. The ant works hard in the withering heat all summer long, building his house and laying up supplies for the winter. Remember that story? The grasshopper, with his little fiddle, thinks the ant is a fool, and laughs and dances and plays the summer away. Come winter, the ant is warm and well-fed. The grasshopper has no food or shelter, so he dies out in the cold. Well, that's the way we grew up. You know, that's the story we heard. Well, here's the new one. Then that moral of the story there was to be self-reliant, to be responsible for yourself. The new version, the 2009 version, the Barry Usurper's administration version, well, this is how it goes. The ant works hard in the withering heat all summer long, building his house and laying up supplies for the winter. So much, so good. The grasshopper thinks the ant is a fool and laughs and dances and plays the summer away, just like grasshoppers always do. Come winter, the shivering grasshopper calls a press conference and demands to know why the ant should be allowed to be warm and well-fed while others are cold and starving. CBS, NBC, PBS, CNN, and ABC all show up to provide pictures of the shivering grasshopper next to a video of the ant in his comfortable warm home with a table filled with food. America is stunned by the sharp contrast. How can this be? That in a country of such wealth, this poor grasshopper is allowed to suffer so. Kermit the Frog appears on Oprah with the grasshopper, and everybody cries when they sing, "It's Not Easy Being Green." Acorn stages a demonstration in front of the ant's house, where the news stations film the group singing, "We Shall Overcome." Reverend Jeremiah Wright then has the group kneel down to pray to God for the grasshopper's sake. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid exclaim in an interview with Larry King that the ant has gotten rich off the back of the grasshopper, and both call for an immediate tax hike on the ant to make him pay his fair share. Finally, the EEOC drafts the Economic Equity and Anti-Grasshopper Act retroactive to the beginning of the summer. The ant is fined for failing to hire a proportionate number of green bugs. And having nothing left to pay his retroactive taxes, his home is confiscated by the government's green czar. The story ends as we see the grasshopper finishing up the last bits of ant's food, while the government's house that he's in, which just happens to be the ant's old house, crumbles around him because he didn't maintain it. The ant has disappeared in the snow. The grasshopper is found dead in a drug-related incident, and the house, now abandoned, is taken over by a gang of spiders who terrorize the once peaceful neighborhood. The moral of this story is be thoughtful when you vote in 2010. I thought that was rather curious. Anyway, Aesop's Fables, they do change. China's sovereign fund is to pay $300 million for 45% of Nobel Oil. This off of Bloomberg News, October the 15th, New News. China Investment Corp, The country's $200 billion sovereign wealth fund has agreed to pay $300 million for a 45% stake in Nobel Oil Group of Russia, according to a statement issued today. Hong Kong's Oriental Patron Financial Group owns 5% in Nobel, while Russian investors will hold the remaining 50% of the venture, according to the statement. Anyway, some of you may be very, very familiar with that story. Some of you may not. But there's been a long-standing disagreement, if you will, between the Rockefeller interest and the Nobel interest. As far as Nobel or Russian oil is concerned, going back to The Unseen Hand, an excellent book written by Ralph Epperson some years ago, An Introduction to the Conspiratorial View of History, in his chapter 10, The Russian Revolution, Ralph Epperson writes these words. He says, the Russian Revolution of 1917 was started by starving Russian workers who were being oppressed by the tyrannical leader of Russia, Tsar Nicholas II, or the Second. There's that grasshopper and ant story again. This is a one-sentence summary of the official explanation of the cause of the communist revolution. But is there another explanation? Is it possible that the Russian workers were being used by someone else for another reason, just as in the French Revolution of 1789? Perhaps the true cause of the Russian Revolution could be traced to a war of competition in the oil industry that started after the American Edward L. Drake drilled the first oil well in 1859. Come back to Drake in a moment. But Drake was not the one, however, who saw the enormous potential in the oil business for exorbitant prices. The plot thickens. We'll pick the story up on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Back in 3 minutes.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
The Intel Strike Report.
And I just want to thank you for everything that you guys are doing to help people understand what's going on in this world.
You know what? You guys, thank you for what you do, and keep doing it.
So often there's more to a story than meets the eye. Originally, the Russian Revolution is one of those stories, as we started out in the previous segment. Come on, Carlos, back off there a little bit. Choke that guitar down. Thank you. Anyway, I can hear stuff going on in the background that maybe you can or cannot hear. I certainly hope you can't. Anyway, I can still hear the music, but the music is now gone. I know how long that little blurb is because I taped it. Anyway, back to the story. John D. Rockefeller, really important here. John D. Rockefeller was one of the early refiners of oil. He started in 1863 with two partners. Rockefeller's interest was not satisfied with just one refinery, however. As author William Hoffman observed, quote, what he wanted was to be the largest refiner in the world, the only refiner in the world. Okay, the only oil, Standard Oil, the only refiner in the world. That was his dream. By 1872, Rockefeller's controlled 25% of America's refining capacity, and by the 1879, he controlled 95%. His goal shifted now from national control to international control. His company, Standard Oil, was supplying 90% of America's foreign oil sales. And America was the sole source of an exportable surplus. But something was happening to his international market. Quote, the wall of standards international oil monopoly had been breached with the opening of Russia's great Baku field on the Caspian Sea. By 1883, a railroad had been built to the Black Sea, and the Tsar had invited the Nobel brothers and the Rothschilds family to help develop these great oil riches. Standard Oil now had an international competitor in the oil business. That would be the Nobels. You know, the Nobel Peace Prize? It's more than just about gunpowder and dynamite. It also has a lot to do with the oil business and this long-standing feud between the Rothschilds and the Nobels. The Rothschild family was now in a position to compete favorably with the Standard Oil in the sake of the oil in the world markets. How did the Rothschilds come into this? The Tsar had invited the Nobel brothers and the Rothschild family, not Rockefeller, but Rothschild family, to help develop these great oil riches. We saw the British pound move up today, didn't we? Again, Standard Oil now had an international competitor in the oil business. The Rothschild family was now in a position to compete favorably with Standard Oil. Is there any competition between Rockefellers and Rothschilds? I ask you. But in 1888, this new oil source had overtaken Standard Oil as the international seller of crude oil. The story continues. The rapid growth of oil industry led Russia into the industrialized world. The traditional explanation of Russia's economy at this time was that the nation was an agrarian economy. In other words, that poor little ant working hard in a withering heat, right? Far behind the other European economies, however. During the period of 1907 to 1913, Russia's increase in its industrial production rate exceeded that of the United States, England, and Germany, long believed to be the industrial giants of the day. Anyway, some of you know the rest of the story, but it gives you a little bit of a clue about this Rothschild-Nobel combination in competition with the American and European oil interests, which helps us to understand a little bit more about what this is all about here when we see again from this Bloomberg News, China Investment Corporation, the country's $200 billion sovereign wealth fund, agreeing to pay $300 million for a 45% stake in the Nobel Oil Group of Russia, according to a statement issued today. Hong Kong's Oriental Patron Financial Group picked up 5% in the Nobel, while Russian investors will hold the remaining 50%. You see how tightly knit China and the Soviet Union, Mother Russia, have become. Maybe we're back down to the old dispute between the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. Maybe now they'll just destroy America and get all of the oil. Let's go into this a little bit further. Another out of the East news. Gold reaches a record high price in Vietnam. Domestic gold soared to an all-time high of 23.87 million a teal, T-E-A-L, which is $1,104, as globally the metals rose to hover just below record highs as the dollar extended losses against a basket of currencies, our little basket of currencies. Timmy Geithner has a basket. I have a little basket that we share with you each day, too. The Canadian dollar, the Mexican peso, the euro, the British pound, and the Swiss franc. Saigon Jewelry Holding Company, Vietnam's largest gold merchant, announced that prices flared to hit the VND 23.85 million per tael in the Ho Chi Minh City and in Hanoi as of 12 o'clock p.m. Anyway, that's enough of that. Give you an idea that it's going global. Lots of action happening in the gold market. Also came across articles this morning out of India. It seems that gold sales are going along well, smashingly, you might say, as they get ready to sell off their useless daughters. I guess you have to have a dowry to get rid of your daughters in India. But, you know, just a different way of looking at things. Back to this guy named Drake. In 1859, a man named Drake bored the first oil well at Titusville, Pennsylvania. He believed that oil was to be found far beneath the surface of the earth. It was his plan to bore a hole into the earth until he reached that oil, thus releasing it and allowing it to come to the surface. Once the oil had reached the surface, it could be stored in vats or tanks and could be sold for a profit. Drake's plan did not meet with immediate success. He was subjected to the laughter and ridicule of the townspeople, who referred to his idea as, quote, Drake's folly. Despite many disappointing failures, Drake refused to abandon his plan. Eventually, he struck oil and his idea became a reality. Soon, the region was flooded with more oil than could be stored and refined in available facilities. The price of petroleum, which had been $20 a barrel in January of 1860, fell to 10 cents a barrel before the end of the next year. How would that line up in today's dollars? Well, I didn't run the math for you, so we can only speculate. But what was $20 a barrel oil in 1860 fell to 10 cents a barrel. Why? Because of supply and demand. Lots to know about supply and demand. Here's a technical term, if you will. Demand is a technical term and law of comprehensive meaning. When referred to contracts, it means a claim, a legal obligation. It's correlative release, and a release of all demands is a release of all covenants, real and personal, whether the conditions are broken or not. Of all annuities, recognizances, obligations, and contracts, the correlative of demand is release. Wouldn't you like to be released from some of your bondage today? Demand is a technical term in law. It has a lot of interesting places you can go in the study of demand, especially supply and demand. We'll talk about that a little bit more right now. Demand in the practice of law is a requisition made by one individual to another to do a particular thing, namely to pay some debt or fulfill some contract or release some person or property. Demands, a requisition made by one individual to another. Demands are either express or implied. Sometimes an express demand is required before action can be taken. In other cases, the law requires no more than that the demand be implied by bringing an action in law. Remember, Agenda 21, the program of action, actions in law for sustainable development. Demand, important relationship there. Whether an express demand is required before a plaintiff can commence an action to enforce fulfillment of a contract depends upon the express or implied stipulations of the parties to the contract. Well, so much more could be understood about supply, demand, and demand itself. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
And we've returned once again. I hope the outgoing signal to you all is better than the one that I'm getting in my ear. It seems to be a little bit of difficulty with the automation system, at least on my end. Maybe it's going out just loud and clear, and I hope my voice is coming out well as well to you so that you can understand the things that we're talking about here on Become Vocal Local. Should have had an outbound message there that was a little different. But nevertheless, I'm sure we'll get it all straightened out, dealing with new high-tech stuff here beyond me, though. Anyhow, back to our discussion. We're talking about demand, a technical term in law of comprehensive meaning, but we're also relating it to demand and supply. Demand and supply. That's from a political economic standpoint. Demand and supply in political economy, the desire for services or utilities on the one hand, and the production or the offer of them on the other, which tend to complete an act of exchange. Demand is therefore the amount of a commodity that will be taken at a given price. Supply, the amount that will be offered at a given price. And so we can see as these prices fluctuate each day, not only in the precious metals market, the highs and the lows, the bids and the asks, so to speak, but also in the oil market and other places, we can see that there is a relationship that is established between supply and demand. And so it figures into all of the things that we discuss here when we do talk about the financial aspects of this new global technocracy. And anyway, I've been reading this textbook, Principles of Economy. I picked it up at a flea market recently. Find it rather interesting, adding it to the many books on economics that I have. And this is kind of the way I go about things. You know, I go through and I read these textbooks just like they were a novel. Read them from A to Z or from the beginning to the end and compare them with others. And they're stacking up in my library by decades, pretty much. Although I do have several of them in the 1950s area, and this one was copyrighted back in 1953. Part of the reason why I do these studies is not so much to become a knowledgeable economist or any of the other subjects that I study, but more is to watch how the language has changed and how the education system has been working with the minds of the people in this country. I don't know whether we should say working with the minds or working on their minds. But certainly years ago when I was studying Auguste Comte and the concept of positivism, I came across logical positivism in my studies, which is basically a branch, if you will, of the positivist philosophy, whereby in science, and they do claim that economics is a science, pretty specious science, but they do claim it to be a science. But in science of a variety of different kinds, language is important. And the scientists of the day created this idea of logical positivism to basically advance the positivist agenda inside of all of the various sciences. And out of that came basically a phrase that I use, obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntactician. Inside of logical positivism, words are no longer have meaning as you and I would use in interpersonal, casual, social interchange in our daily language, one another. No, instead, words simply become symbols inside of a language game. And as I've said before, these various and sundry specialists, as we began to specialize all around the world, we became a world of experts, experts say, as all of the various and sundry guilds and craftsmen that we talked about last Monday when we looked at the transformation, the Neoplatonists of the Florentine, Venice, Rome area of that time period, coming into what would become the Reformation, setting up the foundation for the Reformation of religion. We found that a lot of these people wanted to raise up art and painting and sculpture to, from the level of a guild, from the level of a craftsman, into the liberal arts, into the level of a profession. And so then they clamber up inside the great sandstone wall of life into a little niche that they've carved out for themselves, and they wall themselves in with specialized language, and they hang out a little shingle, and they sell their services, their goods and services, they sell those to the profane, the adepts being the ones that are up there in the niches. And there's certainly no difference with economics. Some fundamental concepts, economic concepts in chapter 5 of this book, it starts to get us into that idea. Economics, it starts off, has been defined as the study of mankind's efforts to satisfy wants by utilizing the scarce goods of nature. See, when you embark in the study of any of these various quote-unquote sciences, per se, the niche builders, the logical positivists, the obfuscatory linguistics begins. They have to wall themselves in with specialized languages so that the profane can't understand what they are saying. And there's no difference here. The definition that they've just posited is divergent from the 1950s dictionary definition, if you will, the meanings and senses of the term economics. They're specializing this idea. They're defining economics in their own field. Again, its economics in 1953 has been defined as the study of mankind's efforts to satisfy wants. I can't even begin to tell you how many times the word want and wants and the satisfaction of wants has appeared even in the first 80-90 pages of this textbook. There's a great difference between what a man might want and what he might need, or what a people might want and what a people might need. But certainly here in the 1950s, we get this idea that need has been replaced with want. And there are reasons for that. There are very strong hands in the game, and the transformation from need to want was important. But let's go on a little bit further here. Again, I'll just give it one more time. Economics has been defined as the study of mankind's effort to satisfy wants by utilizing the scarce goods of nature. And we're not going to go into all of this, but they're going to define all of these what become terms, no longer just words, but terms inside the science of economics. It continues, and he says, for reasons that will be given below, the term, key use, key phrase, there, key word, the term goods, quote unquote, goods, is understood to include, and now they're going to go on for pages, and they're going to start to break down goods. So that we can understand what goods are in the mind and in the dialogue and in the practice of economics, just as we discussed about demand from the technical standpoint in law and demand and supply in political economy. For reasons, again, that will be given below, the term goods is understood to include the services of human beings as well as material objects. Again, now we're using the term human beings. From our study of political science, we discovered that human beings, the term human beings, according to political scientists, are politically socialized creatures. Those not politically socialized being none other than animals, the profane. You have to be politically socialized to become a human being. The economist, it continues, like other scientists, has found it helpful to attach certain words, meanings that are quite different from those given the words in ordinary usage. In other words, this obfuscatory linguistics begins. The economists begin to redefine the language that's being used. That way, when you hear about something on the news and somebody says the red ball, you're looking and thinking of a little red ball, perhaps. But they're not thinking of a red ball at all. In fact, red ball was not what they intended to write. It was certainly not what they meant to write. It wasn't what they meant to say. Red ball was just used as a symbol inside of their language game. And unless you happen to be privy to the meta language, which is simply a language about language, and especially the language of the economist, you would have no idea what they meant when they said red ball. It's kind of like green shoots and scores. The restrictions that economists place upon certain word meanings should cause no confusion in the mind of the student of economics, provided he learns these restrictions in advance. To avoid such confusion, some of the important liberties taken with the English language by the economist are summarized in this chapter. Very important to understand those words and how they influence our understanding of the world around us. We'll be back in a second.
Time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade.
Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we have returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local for the last segment of this first hour. I've just got a message from Vicki Davis. She will be able to join us in the second hour. Finally, I was able to get all the computer gremlins lined up. We're all working on computer gremlins today. And in the background, our high-tech gurus are checking things out, making sure everything's right on Oracle. Sounds good to the audience, and that's good for me. Let's go back into this discussion and close this out. A few fundamental concepts on economics. There's so much that we could go into on all of this, the discussion of public finance, debts, budgets, how this all works. You know, folks, if we're going to have any success at all in our future, we're going to have to just stop throwing stones and come up with a better program. The program that's being, I would say shoved down our throats, but it's really not that. It's just the system that we find ourselves living in today is so miserably dysfunctional that it could only be done by design. You just can't make this many mistakes in a row if you didn't have a plan. So we're going to have a better plan going into 2010 and 2012 if we hope to start to recover any of this stuff and make sense in our world. But let's continue back to this study, trying to wrap our mind around this obfuscatory linguistics, because really when you can start to change the meanings of the words used in common parlance, and certainly George Orwell put that on the map with his newspeak and those sorts of things, but you know, he was largely, in my mind, not only preceded but superseded and all of that by the writings of Aldous Huxley in his Brave New World and Brave New World Revisited, and then in many talks that he gave around America, including here in the United States down in Berkeley, California. I didn't get a chance to hear that one, but I would have loved to have attended. But the whole idea of transferring, changing, just to give you the words again, to avoid such confusion, some of the important liberties taken with the English language, which really should be the American language, shouldn't it? Yeah. Not the English language. But, again, the important liberties taken with the English language by the economist are summarized in this chapter. And in this chapter, we go on and we talk extensively about goods, all right, this term goods, and try and develop utility and many other parts and pieces in all of this so that we can get a better understanding, I guess, or a clearer understanding of what we find when we read technical economic material, political economy. A lot of what's going on at the Federal Reserve banking system is done behind the scenes because John and Jane Average, if they heard about it, if they understood the depth of all of this, they would probably come up in arms immediately and burn down the nearest courthouse with torches and pitchforks and all of that sort of stuff. And perhaps, well, they ought. We're inside of a fraud of the most incredible magnitude. But anyway, let's go into just a little bit. Here's goods again. It has been emphasized that the study of economics is concerned with the utilization of the scarce goods of nature. Now, see here, we're talking about a slight deviation again in the definition of the term. Those things that satisfy human wants are termed goods. Again, the satisfaction of human wants, not needs, but wants. You know, the wants of a man are endless. The needs are few. There was a time when in self-reliant America, men and women did everything they could to provide for their needs as best they could, being self-reliant, rugged individuals. But with the coming of the industrial age, as we made the transition from mercantilism to industrialism in this country, things happened. The whole idea of mass production happened. The idea that you could make rifles out of parts, where all of the parts could be made independently, and when they all come together, they all form a rifle. Whitney's repeating rifle there. I can't remember his first name. Whitney is the fellow, though, I believe. It doesn't matter. The idea is that you could have a barrel of triggers and a barrel of locks and a barrel of a barrel. And you could have a barrel full of stocks. And then as your assemblers reached into the barrels, they could pull out a stock and a barrel and a receiver and a trigger assembly or trigger parts and lay them all out and just keep making rifles as rapidly as they could. No one actually needs to know how to make a rifle. Some are assemblers and some are not. Some assemble trigger mechanisms and some don't. But in order to keep all of that going, you definitely need to have the demand for those products. In order to rightly order a factory system, you need to have a reliable demand for those products so that you can get an idea of how many of those little parts you need to make. Maybe you're just a trigger maker. Or a lock maker, or a barrel maker, or a stock maker. And so you need to know how many stocks to make. And that's where we started to go down this slippery slope. Because in order to continually increase profits, we had to increase the demand for the product. We had to make more people think that they needed to have XYZ so that the factories could gear up to make XYZ. That means that it goes all the way back. If you take something like the Carnegie Steel system, U.S. Steel, the railroads that they would have to buy to go to the mines, which they would have to buy to get the ore, which they had to buy to get the coal, which they needed to buy to bring them all together near their foundry, their steel mills. Then they have to have two different ways of going about it. First, you have to make you have to combine the coal. You have to combine the coal with the ore in a furnace, and melt it into pigs. And then while it's still hot, you need to go out, take it out and roll it or shape it or stamp it or dye it or do something. And the corporations came into existence, these fictitious entities called corporations. And this whole thing just starts to mushroom. So that the fellow that's down in Kentucky got a little blacksmith shop out back, maybe 6x8 or 8x10, open on one side or closed all four. A little blacksmith forge in there, some iron, where he used to be able to make a Kentucky rifle or one of the other rifles, 2, maybe 4, 8 a year. He was driven out of business. He could no longer compete. He couldn't compete with these big factories that could stamp these things out, lickety split. No longer really any challenges to how many rifles to be made. The only real criteria there was what was the demand. No matter how many are needed, we can supply them. Just let us have enough lead time and we'd go ahead and be able to build that many Hummers. We could build that many tanks. We could build that many planes, so on and so forth. Well, that's where America started to really take it in the shorts, so to speak. Even though we prospered and we prospered mightily, the people had to go through a social transformation. The public relations campaign, the propaganda, the media, all began to work not really for us, but for the corporations, in order to generate the demand for the tickets to sit in the stadium and drink lousy beer and poisonous hot dogs between poisonous white bun, white bread buns as they watch some ball thing happen on a field. How do you get people to buy those tickets? The whole program. How come is it that all across America, people for a while kind of looked similar because their clothes looked pretty similar? Well, it's because they were no longer making them themselves. They were buying them from a factory, and so everyone got blue shirts and blue jeans and caps and shoes. And they all looked pretty much the same. Looked like kind of an American style. But then in order to really get things ramped up, we had to go into all of these various fashions, make things fashionable. And we started to transform our economy from one driven by need to one driven by want. And as I said, the wants of man are endless, and his needs are few. And so it's no surprise that our houses are filled with junk. We look like raccoons or crows or something. Anything shiny will be fine. Just bring more of those things into the house. All this cheap Chinese plastic crap. But that all depends on a solid, strong economy. That depends on employment, full employment. Without full employment, you don't have any workers to buy all that cheap plastic crap. And then people start to think again on needs. We'll pick up Vicki on the other side of this break and see what she's got to bring to the table today. We'll be right back in a few moments.
You heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
History will always remember those with the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, October the 15th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, my name is William Roberts. We got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you every day. In the first hour, we talked about economics and some financial news and some things along those lines. Certainly, we could go on for hours and hours and months and days on all that. But we won't. We'll take a tack here and bring up Vicki Davis. Vicki's finally gotten her computer to behave. And now that it's being haved, she's going to show us what she's found on the computer. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning. Just don't dock my pay for being late.
Well, if you can ever get inside of the stream of paychecks, let me know. I want to climb into that stream, too. I got a big boat. I want to back it up. Fill up my boat with paychecks. It's been so long.
Yeah.
I forgot what it's like, you know.
Yeah, me too. Well, what happened with my computer is that I got attacked by viruses, and I couldn't get rid of them, and so I finally ended up paving my whole system and reinstalling everything, and I've been, you know, kind of just like a mad woman trying to put my machine back together.
An H1 not too fun flu virus?
A bunch of them, actually. It was, anyway, so, you know, I'm not really a very religious person, but sometimes it just seems like that there's a helping hand, you know, working, helping me out here. Because in the process of restoring my machine and trying to find a document that I wanted to talk about, the Boger goals, I did a search on my machine and found that the year 1994 was just about as important as 1991. And so even though I can't really talk about it at any level of depth today, by next Tuesday, I'll have put together a web page for you describing all of the things that I've found in recovering from this debacle.
Well, sometime back we went over the page that you have, 1991, the year that the world changed, and in that page I think there's some discussion there about Walter Wriston and some other people, but the whole idea of this great sweeping transformation that came in with the internet, public access, public use of that, and then this idea of merging through Y2K the technology across all of the governments around the world, and then what we're hearing out of the Senate committee with, what is it, Baucus and Reid, now with this Obamacare thing. Yesterday, I believe it was Mike Chambers on his broadcast, Mike Chambers Live, which follows this one. He was talking about some things that I found rather disconcerting, where in order to get to, and I'm just going from memory here, folks, don't hold me to any of this, but we would have to go through the Department of Motor Vehicles to get our Obamacare cards or something like that, and then it would also be tied in with the Internal Revenue Service, where you would have to disclose or declare your medical care payments or whatever on your Internal Revenue Service swearing out against yourself document. And so when we combine that kind of stuff together with the information that you've shared previously, Vicki, about how this global healthcare system and telemed goes, I can see all of these little webs, the knots are just starting to appear all around us.
Yeah, well, they have to give everybody a national ID card somehow. You know, you've got to be RFID chipped. And this whole healthcare reform, it's not really about healthcare. It's about the computer system that they need for the global health system.
And put all of these little parts and pieces together inside of that IT network. So, folks, we'll talk a little bit about that on the other side of this break. Do stay with us. We always enjoy visiting with Vicki. And we'll be willing to take your calls, too, at 866-841-1065.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeed.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local. This is our October the 15th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, starting our second hour with our guest again, returning in the second hour, Vicki Davis. We started out just a little bit of a discussion about these Bogar goals. We're going to talk about that next Tuesday, but for today, we're going to go back and look at some of this incredible matrix that's being developed, this IT matrix. Certainly, Vicki, when I was listening to the broadcast yesterday, Mike Chambers live broadcast, the idea of having to report on your taxes, your medical contribution or what provider you're using. I'm not sure exactly the details on all of that, really raises a big flag for me. I know across America there are millions of people that don't report on themselves. They don't swear out an affidavit against themselves, and they have stepped aside from that infernal revenue system that collects the interest on the debt that's generated by the Federal Reserve banking system when they create all these trillions and throw them into existence. A lot of people just resent the system to the point that they're willing to send it aside. But anything and everything that could be done from a governmental standpoint to drive people back in there can and probably will be done, and I'm afraid it's being done under this Obamacare program. What's your take on that?
Well, it's not really Obamacare. I mean, the development of this system has been going on since the early 1990s. This is just the next stage of the implementation of it, but it's absolutely astounding to me how much the Congress is going along with this collectivization of our system, and of our system of government, and basically they're just turning us into a Soviet Union with a fully planned and managed society, and if they're allowed to continue on with the implementation of this, people are going to end up being just like owned objects in a factory. They're trying to design a society in which they control every aspect of your life like you're an object owned by the country.
Well, in many regards, we are an object owned by the country. My studies of this idea of public finance and going into it and studying it, it is very obvious in the writing of these textbooks published back in the 1950s that we don't actually own any property. And the idea that goods and services are split up, the human being, his services are not necessarily a good. There are certain criteria that have to be met in order for them to be such. But, we're owned basically lock, stock, and barrel, cradle to grave. We don't own our property. We don't own our cars. We don't own anything because, again, we can go back and look at the book that just came out by Rowan and McDonald. They own it all, including you, where I hope when I receive my copy and read it, they will clearly outline so that we can discuss it cogently on air just how this fraud has been affected, but largely through the use of the Federal Reserve note, this system is set up such that we can never discharge a debt, therefore we can never own anything. Everything has a hidden lien on it, a lien held by others. And so, the idea of track and trace and traceability and all of that and trace back, that comes into it. But we are just chattel on this global plantation.
Yeah, well, and the provision in the healthcare legislation where they can just, pull you out of your private healthcare plan if they feel like it. I mean, that pretty much proves it, doesn't it? Because what business, under what authority could they remove you from your private health insurance plan and put you somewhere else?
And it's not just a class removal. It's an individual or a specific or a targeted removal. It goes back to the idea that unless you have the mark, you can either buy or sell within the system. So this is where the internet, where the computing part of it becomes so absolutely critical for them, because in order to be able to go from a shotgun or a howitzer down to a .22 rifle and actually get that one squirrel off that one branch, they have to have this kind of computing technology in place in order to make it happen.
Right, exactly so. And you know, what worries me about them including provisions like that in the law, I'm already worried about this healthcare system because of the way that they designed the healthcare. They're going to be segregating out people that have chronic illnesses. And I know just as sure as I'm sitting here that they're going to be doing experimentation on those people. And, you know, what I see them doing with this ability to pull you out of one healthcare plan and put you in something else is that they actually might be pulling you out to put you in like a study group. You know, maybe you have some particular DNA they like to study and they want to put you in a group, a special group. And so, I mean, that really, really concerns me.
Well, it goes back to, starts with, at least at this particular juncture, we can pick up the trail, I certainly did, with the writings of Auguste Comte, his system of positive polity and his system of positive philosophy, and then again his catechism for the universal religion of humanity. It's a three-pronged system. But in his system, what he set up, Vicki, was that the captains of finance and industry, that would be Rockefellers, Rothschild, and all the rest of them, the captains of finance and industry would rule the world through their appointed dictatorship, and the appointed dictator would be supported in everything that he did by a cadre of what they call super social scientists. And so the super social scientists then are those that would follow through the various social sciences, and sociology plays a big part in all of that. But with sociology as the queen of sciences, as Auguste Comte said, which would trump philosophy and the other sciences, what he was looking at there was the idea of actually putting individual man and man collectively in a petri dish, if you will, and slipping it under the microscope and studying it. And so we can see from what happened with the spread of AIDS through the medications and the deaths caused by the medications for the AIDS people, all of the various and sundry different kinds of cancers that come about by eating this poisoned food system. The idea that you're positing of being able to target individuals and to push them out into, you know, like the Tuskegee experiment, some kind of an experimental group, by environment or by social class or by race or by whatever, is not just frightening, but it's going to be exceedingly easy for them to do.
Oh, yeah, and that is the game plan. They're selling it on the idea that, you know, if you have some kind of chronic illness, you'll get better treatment if you go to a center specifically designed for chronic illnesses. Well, that also makes you a target.
Would that be the kind of good services that you get when you go to renew your driver license? When you go to that specific place and you get to stand in that line for hours and hours and hours?
Oh, I know. Did you hear that guy on C-SPAN? He was talking about a health fair in, I think it was West Virginia.
Well, hold that thought. We'll pick it up on the other side, folks. More to come. We're still with you. We'll be right back.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com.
cpanel.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we have returned, and I don't know whether it's possible or not, Vicki, but please pick it up where you're leaving off. We were going to a fair. I love fairs, don't you?
Rides. this was a health fair. I don't think this one would be very much fun. But the way that he described it, it was almost like, you know, cattle moving through a chute, you know, where you've got the vet that's checking their eyes and their ears, and it's just an assembly line of, looking at the animal. And that's the way he described this health fair in West Virginia.
Well.
And I think that's the future of healthcare.
Well, it's always the cattle in the chute. You know, if we could get beyond the idea of being treated like cattle, or it's really chattel, folks. It's C H A T T E L. Browse it up. It's like when you buy an apartment building, you buy the physical building, and you get the land that runs underneath it too. And of course, those are separated off on your tax statement, on your property tax statement. You've got the improvements, and then you've got the land. Well, inside that apartment building and all those apartments, there's bedsteads and sideboards and other things, tables that have been left behind or gathered up and so on and so forth. And all of that is under a separate mortgage. It's a chattels mortgage. And so there's three different mortgages on a piece of property sometimes. When you get into the larger pieces, you've got the land payments, you've got the improvement payment, and then you've got the chattel. And here we are, the chattel. We're all the bedsteads and the dressers and the little tables all across America. We're the chattels. We're expendable. We're on a very, very short depreciation schedule, the land is what they really want to hold, and all of the improvements on it again. And it goes back to this idea of just what is wealth, the test for wealth. The economists here in our textbook say this: there's four conditions. Is it useful? Well, are we useless, you know, useful eaters, or are we not? Two, is it scarce? Well, there's certainly no scarcity of human beings, and we will continue to make more of ourselves if you leave us alone at night. And then the third is it material? Well, no, yeah, I guess we have a physical existence, but is it material? And then four, can its ownership rights be transferred? Now, that's the real question. Can we transfer the ownership rights of all of these Social Security card identified, numbered, tracked, traceable people on the planet? Can we transfer the ownership rights of
them? Well, that apparently so, because they included human commodities in the WTO agreement, under the GATS agreement.
Human resources.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's not a scarce thing, but it could be considered as a good. It could be considered part of the national wealth of the nation, the national wealth, as opposed to the national income. The national income, of course, has to do with everything that we earn throughout the whole thing. That's why you have to file your income tax. That's why you have to report on yourself with a personal property tax and a real property tax. That all helps to develop what the national wealth of the nation is. But it's how much you earn is part of what our national income is, the GDP, the durable goods reports, folks, and all of these other things that come under the heads of economy. But, yeah, there's a lot to this, and I can see Vicki, where utilizing the IT sector is absolutely critical to making this wet dream occur.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, back when August Comte, did his writings, they might be able to design systems for small communities. But with the computer systems of today, they can design, and they are designing, systems that can keep track of your every single movement of every single day of every minute of your life. And they can direct those activities. I mean, I can foresee a day when you'll have to log onto the computer and, you know, your schedule will be there, your task lists for the day, and the government will be telling you what you're going to do today.
That might be on the BlackBerry that's on your neck or something.
Well, yeah, there you go. I don't have those newfangled devices. I don't have a cell phone or a BlackBerry, and I don't want one.
I don't either. I have never had. As a matter of fact, folks, I've only made one cell phone call that I'm aware of in my life, and that was from the top of Mount Rainier to my brother's house down in Bothell, Washington, on the day that I summited Mount Rainier. The fellow that I climbed that mountain with, I had a cell phone with him. But I don't really care for those things. I know a little bit too much about GPS to really trust them. The whole idea of carrying one around, knowing that they can track your movements and all of that, I just don't feel comfortable with them, and I never have. So for some reason, I just never went down that way. And then the same thing with these BlackBerries and all these various little tippy-tappies. You know, there's so many other things we can do in our life. And at the end of the day, I don't know how you feel about this, Vicki, but at the end of the day, all of this IT stuff really has produced nothing.
It produces efficiency. And efficiency in a corporation is a good thing, you know, it makes more money for them. But when you're talking about a government that is trying to wring maximum efficiency out of the citizens and out of the infrastructure and the land, then you're talking about probably what is going to be a Holocaust.
Well, as a test for wealth, are computers useful? Yeah, I guess they can be useful. Are they scarce? No. There's no end to how many of them are out there and how many can be made. Is it material? Well, it's physical. And can its ownership rights be transferred? Well, yeah, you can, you know, move them from place to place. But is it really a true measure of wealth? I think about land, labor, and capital. Think about an ability to move from point A to point B, whether you clothe yourself, whether you feed yourself, whether you've housed yourself, whether you've warmed yourself in the winter, cooled yourself in the summer. None of this stuff does any of those jobs. So it doesn't seem to really fit in there very well.
Well, I see where you're going with that. What year was what you're reading written?
This particular textbook is a 1953 economic test.
Okay, we've got to throw that out because they didn't include knowledge. Information is wealth. Information is power. And a computer gets you that. And any given process that you automate, if you can get more efficiency out of your process using the computer, you'll have more wealth. So it's a new component that was not available in 1953. But it is
considered in 1953. In 1953, not only were there people who were scholars and people who were actors and people like, you know, that did all kinds of incredible things, inventors and so on, but it was the knowledge aspect of it, which wasn't real true wealth.
In 1953, though, you have to remember that the computers that they had filled entire, you know, several floors of a building, you know, and it was like light bulbs on and off. And even though they were very far thinkers, the odds that they were thinking about little handheld devices that you could walk around with and have the power of the entire information in the world, probably, unless they were just so far out there, they were probably insane. They probably didn't occur to them. And economists certainly would not have. The scientists would have been thinking along those lines, but not the economists.
Well, there's lots to learn about it anyway. It's free goods versus economic goods. And when we look at personal skills of any nature excluded from the category of economic goods because they're not transferable, the skill of an actor is not an economic good, and hence we cannot include it in our economic discussions. The actor's skill possesses utility and scarcity. It's useful to others, and it's available only in limited quantities, they say. Nevertheless, it's not an economic good because it cannot be transferred to the theater patron. Well, there's a lot to that. We'll pick all that up on the other side of this break. I'm glad they threw this book out because I was able to get it for almost nothing, and I love it. I'll be right back, folks. Anyway.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
And we've returned once again here in the bottom half of the program on the second hour, visiting again with Vicki Davis. Folks, her website is www.channelingreality.com, channelingreality.com. And unfortunately, I guess I'm going to have to be thrown into the dustbins with all the rest of the historians and the old books in this new IT world. Why don't you pick it up right there, Vicki?
Will. Okay. If I, as a programmer working for a corporation, if I design and write and implement a system that eliminates the jobs of 5 paper pushers, then I have created wealth for the owner of the corporation, for the owners of the corporation, by adding efficiency into their operation. And that's how the computers and knowledge, knowledge and information become, what did you call it? Economic sources of economic
good, as opposed to a social good. But go ahead, because we're right on top of something here that has to do with intellectual property and the value of intellectual property. But also, we're involved in another one of these broad sweeping transformations. You know, when we went from home craft to into this industrial thing, when the people started to leave their lands and move to the cities to work in the factories, and we went into the factory system, you know, that was a huge social revolution that happened. I can't say that it was all for the good. There was certainly a lot of blowback from that. Now we find more people moving into the suburbs and out into the country again, trying to get away from that Mad Hatter lifestyle. But certainly a lot could be discussed on that. But we've changed once again. We've no longer now are we factory cities. Now we're these IT cities. And my concern here and my question in all of this is, where are the houses? Where's the food? Where's the production? We've got everybody sitting around on their keyboards tipping and tapping to each other. But there's really nothing other than what you might consider intellectual property. I mean, you can have the most efficient intellectual property that you want, but at the end of the day, it's a zero net gain.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just reminded me of something that is really a key point here. When I was designing and writing computer systems for corporations, they were custom systems written for the corporation's process. Whatever their process was, it was custom designed software for their process. With the advent of the desktop computer and it becoming a commodity that everybody has one, the whole paradigm in software development changed in such a way that whereas the software used to be written for a process, now you have people developing software to manage the process. They decide how the systems work without our input. And in because of that, they are implementing a totalitarian system of control because we don't have any input into the design process of what they're doing, and yet what they are doing affects our lives.
So if you go from the where I began in all of this with the DOS, you know, writing DOS commands in, and you develop a software system, or even with the Hewlett-Packard programmable chip computers that I have, handheld calculators, at that point, at that level, I'm actually in control of the whole process, almost, because if there's anything that I don't like about the way that the system is set up, I have the key, if you will, to the back door. When you sit down and you open up a computer running Windows Vista or something like that, you have a choice of the, what do they call it, the skin, you know, how the page looks. But you have no real, you might be able to move the icons around on your desktop to please your visual idea, but you're still going to have everything inside it running beyond your ability. If you're going to store a file someplace, you'll have to store it according to the screens. And so is this what you're intimating here as far as the process runs in the behind, but the application runs up front?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And now take that to a level where you have government processes. And when Al Gore and Bill Clinton made the decision to redesign our government, the very people that designed designed these systems that standardize everything, they are the ones that are driving changes. They've designed their system, and they're telling you now, you must fit within our system. You must standardize your life, your way of living, to fit our design of our computer systems.
The perfect plan society. This is, goes back to Robert Owen and the Amanda community, the Oneida community, New Harmony, basically just having centralized social planning and centralized planning in general to lay out the whole framework from which all the people then just find their little niche and they march along in their niche.
Well, they will find your little niche for you. Yes. You won't, in the future, you won't have an option.
No choice.
No choice, because one of the other systems that I've studied is the education system, and I think we've talked about it a little bit, but, I mean, in their own documents, they say cradle to grave. I mean, they even plan for prenatal interviews with the mother, you know, so that they can watch, they can record the development of the fetus.
Exactly.
So
that goes back to the Information Control Division, the writings of Bertram Schaffner, when they came into Germany during the occupation of Western Germany and basically put the German people under a petri dish to see what they could do to get the authoritarian nature out of the German people. Last evening on another broadcast, I heard a report from a Sergeant Humphrey who called in, formerly one of the hosts, I believe, on the network, where he was talking about there was still a lot of the authoritarian nature in the German people that they haven't been able to stomp out. But they were looking back then, Vicki, at what point in the life of a child does the state intervene? Do they capture them when they come into kindergarten, or do they need to get them before that? Do they need to capture the child in the mother's arm? Do they need to capture the child in the womb? Or do they get the child through the parents before conception ever starts? You know, so this goes back to the 40s, and then we can see that now, some 70 years later, this system is being unfolded in America and around the world.
Yeah. It's funny you mention that, because I saw a they aren't commercials on PBS, but it was a kids program that and there was a break in between, you know, with them explaining what they were doing, and they're doing programming for children to get them ready for school and ready for life. And when they said that, boy, did it ring bells, you know, for me. And the only thing that people can do, the only thing you can do, is to get out of the system. You've got to get your state legislators to understand the system that's being designed and built. And just, you know, we've got to stop this, because people are going to be prisoners. You will be a prisoner. There will be no more freedom ever.
Well, it's like a box canyon, and I've been saying this for a long time on the broadcast for the past 17 months. Once we go into this box canyon and get inside, yeah, the pasture is green. There's water in there. Other sheep are already in there, and it looks so wonderful. But once we allow ourselves to go in there and they pull the curtains behind us or bring the barbed wire up or whatever they're going to do to keep us in confinement, there really is no escape from this particular system. If you go back, folks, and understand that revelation I've talked about so many times, was something that came to me in two parts on June the 30th of 2004, on the next morning, or it might have been 2005. No, I think it was 2004. And then on July the 1st, but it came in two parts. Again, it goes like this. There's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law, that in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. And if we can think of early childhood education as being one of those licensed privileges that is taxable and revocable in this new status world, or the status world that we definitely have lived in for a long time, then we can start to understand that even what someone is doing at the Montessori school level or a daycare center, they've learned that somewhere. They've been told what is expected of them, and they have a license that can get pulled if they don't hold their ground. So anyway, we'll pick it up right there on the other side.
It's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
This is the greatest show on radio because Paya is on the show.
I know.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Central.
And we've returned once again, and just a reminder for the audience, the Vicky's website is channelingreality.com. Channelingreality.com, we haven't posted anything for today's broadcast, but there's lots of material up there. You might just read through the material that you can get right off the home page. Just click on those articles and go. Lots and lots of research. As we're going into the break, Vicky, I was trying to squeeze in, horseshoe in before the break began, this idea that the education system for the children is so controlled. You know, here locally we have pre-K, K-1, K-2, you've got the daycare centers every place. You've got this whole idea of just really just tearing the child away from the young girl, the young boy, away from their parents at such a tender early age so that we can make it easy for those parents to go right back to work. You know, we wouldn't want them to miss a day of work just because of the inconvenience of childbearing.
Right, and that's exactly what I was hearing in that PBS commercial. It wasn't a commercial, but whatever they call them. That's what I heard them saying. You know, they intend to teach the children what the child needs to know for life. And when I heard that, I, of course, thought, you know, well, where do the parents come in? You know, if they intend to plant kids in front of the tube, you know, for all of their programming, for their life. There really is no need, no room for parents. Actually, parents would just confuse the child.
Well, part of it, isn't it just, you know, this advancement of sociology to the point where we could say, well, because your DNA is such and such, because your race is such and such, because your social status is such and such, you're really, you know, what we really need to have you do is to consider being a street sweeper, because really, street sweeping is a noble thing. And we want to demonstrate and share with you throughout your whole life what a contribution it is to the social basket for street sweepers. You know, we've got a street sweepers guild, and we've got special clubs for street sweepers, and we need you to be a street sweeper. And so the child begins to believe it. Their parents are being told, well, you know, your child is really suitable for street sweeping, and we need more of them. And it's such a noble cause, you know. There's humility in it. It's humanitarian. And so we maybe have a brain surgeon here that's being derailed from a natural course of development because of this specious science that comes on, you know, early on in their life.
Well, yeah, because a person who's capable of being a brain surgeon is also a person capable of thinking for themselves, and in this controlled system that they'll have, that's not a desirable trait.
Exactly.
So
exactly. Frightening, isn't it? But, you know, when people just do sit back and do absolutely nothing, you know, these are the mind forged manacles that are going to come down on us. I was mentioned to Lee Rogers last evening offline during his broadcast. It's this idea that, you know, it wasn't so much that you know, it was horrible enough, I should say, that Vicki Weaver gets shot in the head while she's standing on the front porch of their little house, and that their dog has been slaughtered in front of them, and the boy's been shot. That's bad enough, no doubt about it. Lon Horiuchi should be dangling from a rope long ago. But then you turn that around and you add that on to something like the Alfred P. Murrow building getting detonated, demolished while people are in it with daycares and everything. That's bad enough. You get the Waco live burning sacrifice visited upon the Branch Davidians. That's bad enough. You get the murder in the middle of the night of William Cooper. We lose a powerful voice for good there. That's bad enough. You add in all of the other depredation that came between then and the live burning sacrifice visited on New York. That's bad enough. Now you have, you know, the Madoff thing, and then you've got the derivatives bubble. Those are all bad enough. Every one of them bad enough on their own that they warranted congressional investigations and heads should have been rolling and justice should be served. But when you add A plus B plus C plus D plus E plus F plus G and on in an endless chain, you know, the old Fibonacci sequence, you add them all together and we still have no redress of grievance. We still have no real anything happening. It has not just it's not pouring out into the streets with pitchforks, folks. It's a deadening process. It deadens our senses. It's a hopelessness that's coming over the land.
All right. I kind of think it's a little more than that, actually. I think that all of those events are connected, and they're all connected to the whole plan of the global information society and the various elements. And each one of those disasters, not disasters, but each one of those terrorist events. I would bet there was some blackmail behind it.
Oh, absolutely. What I'm trying to get at with that is that each of these abuses, again, as individual occurrences at any other time in history, they would have been, instrumental major change. There would have been public outcry, big outpourings. But because they've just come on us and at us every, you know, a couple of years, and here's another one, and here's another one, it's like cards in a deck, you know. And I agree, absolutely, that this thing is like a time release capsule. Just works to deaden the people so that when these kinds of abuses, this new system of health care or some new financial system or some some new track and trace system, or the complete destruction of our government, bury the usurper's administration, clearly unqualified to serve from any constitutional ground. All of these things work together as a long chain of abuses, if you will, and yet at the same time, because of the time-release nature of them and the perverse nature of them and the obvious government complicity, it has just deadened the people.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, the people that are designing these systems, they know precisely what they are doing.
I agree.
And I have to say that they are psychopaths.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I'm one of those people, too. I didn't, of course, work on any of these systems. But, I mean, I understand the systems, and I know that they know what they're doing. And and they're doing it intentionally, and therefore you have to consider them psychopaths.
Well, it's pathological, and we call it that, you know, the pathological technology that's emerging around us as this new global order. You know, there's no doubt about it. It's a pathos. It's a psychosis. It's a process, but it is a plan, and they are following the plan. And, you know, you get back and you step back to the level of the Zbigniew Brzezinski's and all of that. You know, what you're looking at is a system that is global in nature, and has global to local action plans. And as I like to say, you know, this is the time for us to become vocal local. When we realize the complicity, when we realize the nature of this beast, we can no longer remain to stay silent. Our silence is implied consent. And I do not consent to this. I absolutely, I mean, to me it's so repugnant, Vicki, that when I see something on a congressman's website, like the one that I saw on EC from DC, that's Emmanuel Cleaver from the District of Criminals, on his website, he's got a national debt clock ticker, but right above that he has a headline, "Your Share of the Debt." Hey, this isn't my share of the debt, chump. I didn't vote for any of this crap. You did. This is your share of the debt. Why don't we just go ahead and take your checkbook out and look at your wealth, and we'll figure out how much you owe for your complicity in all of this. And if you owe time, then give him time to go with it.
Yeah, exactly so. I mean, if I have a share of that debt, then let me at the budget. I'll cut it.
Have a signature.
I got to cut out my share.
I got to have a signature on that contract someplace. Where's my name on this? You know, I didn't have anything to do with this thing, and yet they're selling it through the media as if this is our share. This is, you know, here's more white guilt, more American burden. Hey, it's not my problem. I've been against war ever since I came onto this planet. I've been fighting against these wars in Vietnam and every place else all along, you know. But when are enough people going to say, wait a minute, this is not America. This isn't the country I was grew up in. This isn't the country that I want to leave to my children. It's time for me to do something besides watching TV and drinking beer and eating pizzas and all of the rest of the things. But not to say that there's anything wrong with beer. I've tipped a few myself. But at a certain point in time, it's time to set the beer glass down and get out of the tavern, folks. I mean, really.
Well, we have a tremendous knowledge gap between what's really going on in the world and what people think the country that they're living in is. And somehow we have to bridge that knowledge gap.
Well, we're trying on broadcasts like these, and of course, if we can get some more people out there all across America, I know it's tough times financially right now. It's not that horribly difficult, from what I understand, about setting up a micro broadcasting system where you're located, folks. We're looking at setting one up right here in our county. I hope that will happen very soon. But, you know, there's ways that we can get the word out. But one of the ways I like to get the word out is to attend these public meetings, to just actually go talk to the folks. Well, we're all out of time. We're gone.
You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs.
They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.